This wide world of sports, some stories can slip through the cracks.
Now, before we do this, let's go over the ground rules.
Pelican Brewing presents The Daily Ticker, where Dirt and Sprague hit the big stories you've heard about, and some you haven't.
How'd you do that? Actually, I'm not even mad. It's amazing.
The Daily Ticker with Dirt and Sprague is brought to you by Pelican Brewing, independently brewing on the Oregon coast since 1996. Crack open a can of Beat Breaker Double IPA and take a bold, hoppy break. Pelican Brewing, born at the beach.
All right, Pelican Brewing Company presents today's Daily Ticker. Pelican invites you to take a beach break at one of their four coastal locations, Cannon Beach, Tillamook, Pacific City, and their newest location at the south end of Lincoln City, Pelican Brewing Company, born at the beach. Mike G. Richmond is the homie. He does a daily podcast on the Blazers, the Locked On Blazers podcast, and he is kind enough to join us now. You can follow him on Twitter, at Mike G. Rich, Mike Richmond. Good morning to you. The news comes out yesterday, right when we're off the air. Joe Cronin got a contract extension. You see the news, the ShamWow announcement. What is the first thought that pops into your head?
No surprise. The team has demonstrated his vision of success by racing to the 12th seed. And so, you know, when you demonstrate some success in any line of work, you are eligible for promotions and raises, and in this case, contract extensions.
So we've talked with our listeners, and some have said, I see the vision. I've been kind of maintaining, I see some of the vision, but I think seeing the full vision means certain things pan out a certain way, and nobody can predict how those things will pan out. I think a lot of that vision depends on where they fall in the draft lottery. Is Chauncey Billups part of that vision, though?
My guess, and this is an educated guess more so than it is active reporting, but my educated guess is no. You know, a really good time to announce the future of the franchise is all at once. Like, you know, Billups with the team option for next season, if the Blazers said, this is our vision, we've got the front office intact, and we've got the coach we want, they would have just done it yesterday, right? Mm-hmm. And then it would have been a whole thing. It doesn't mean that Billups won't get a contract. It just means that if there was, that was a very obvious time to do it. And based on sort of my educated guesses, I think that Billups is likely to have another job in the NBA next year, but not with the Portland Trailblazers.
Well, real quick, though, that could be accurate. Remember that we had that random Mannix report about Phoenix at kind of the end of last season, and I was like, whoa, that's kind of a big deal, and it didn't get enough talk. He comes back. We don't have high expectations. They overperform, and now people are writing real pieces about, I think he's earned the right to come back. He may be gone, but what are we to believe or think of the organization if they don't extend him, but they just pick up the 1 year? Like, if this is just a 1 year, hey, one more season together, but we're not going to give the contract extension.
I mean, that's just a reward I wouldn't accept if I am Chauncey Billups. I am not Chauncey Billups. My name is Mike. I host a daily podcast available wherever you get podcasts and also on YouTube. But like, okay, hey, you did it. You proved that you're an NBA coach. Your fourth season in the league was the best it's ever been. You coached the whole year with limited job security. Congratulations. Come back and do it again. That's like, I would just, no thanks. You know, obviously, like, the team option is binding, but you have an agent for a reason. Don't pick it up.
Like, yeah.
You tell them don't pick it, because it's like, if you want, you know, commit, if you want me to be part of the plan, commit to it. Don't, another sort of like semi-hostage season to prove that you can coach. It's like, I'd rather just go get another job. That's what I would do if I was Chauncey Billups. I don't know that he would do it. But to me, that's the single year, the 82 more games would seem like an insult to someone who you deemed successful.
I love the hostage analogy there. Now I'm just picturing that in my head. It does kind of feel like it. He's here against his will. Let me go, man. Let me go. Mike Richmond is the guest. Lockdown, as he told you, Lockdown Blazers podcast. You can find it wherever you get your podcasts. And now I'm on YouTube. You can go give him a follow on Twitter, at Mike G. Rich. A very complicated tenure for Joe Cronin, right? Like, he takes over, he's interim. He's replacing an evil villain inside the organization, at least according to the fan base, right? Like, everybody hates Neil O'Shea. So it's like, well, this guy's automatically better than him because he seems nice. He seems humble. And then he told us what we wanted to hear as a fan base. Like, we're going to go so all in. You're going to be in pain, man. It's going to hurt. We're so all in. And then they never go all in. They're like, okay, now you're trading away the franchise player.
Every thought bounces off one side and goes to the other of like, yeah, I like Denny and Kamara. Those are good moves. But why the hell is Jeremy Grant still a Blazer? And why didn't you trade Robert Williams? Or yeah, I just had this back and forth feeling. How do you analyze the job that he has done in that gray area of the positives and the negatives?
Yeah, I mean, I think people want to lean towards one of the polls, people being fans and perhaps radio hosts and podcast hosts as well. People want to lean towards one of the polls is that it's like great, you know, trash or goat, I believe is how it works in the modern times. That could be a great segment for you.
Trademark.
TM. In any case, he's in the middle, right? Like, I think the lottery draft picks he's made have finally showed some like real promise, and you could say like, yeah, those dudes look like they're going to be starters, more like quality NBA players, when it was a little shaky earlier in their tenures because Scoot and Shaden were very, very young and they struggled. The trades he's made to get Tumani Kamara and Denny Avdia are good, but like the inaction with some of the other higher paid players on the roster seems really bizarre. I use this analogy on a relatively popular local niche podcast this morning, is that the first time you win 37 games, it is an incredible feat that you should celebrate. It is that Slurpee on a hot July day. Mm. And the second time you do it, you're just drinking sugar on the sidewalk and you're like, oh man. So, you know, I think the hard part is next. Like there's been some really good moves to get to being competent, but the really hard part is making the jump from competent to legitimately competitive. And that includes facing some of the inaction they've had over the last 18 months.
Can you, I wanted to ask you about expectation, and I think it's a little early right now. We kind of have to wait for the lottery to play out and then maybe wait for the pick as well. And even maybe summer league to see what that prospect looks like. But as much as I want to ask you that, I want to kind of follow up with, in thinking about next season and talking about visions and expectations, I keep coming back to, what? Like how last year they were willing to tank for what was billed from the beginning to the end as one of the worst drafts. But this year, nice giggle. As this year, let's take a step. Let's win more than they expect. Let's fight for playoff or play in respectability, but we won't make it, but we'll have the 9th or 10th odds in what is infinitely thought of as a better draft. I just thought the buildup was for this draft, and like last year they tried harder to be worse than they did for this year's draft, which is way better.
Yeah, it's odd. Hence the giggle. Who knows, right? Like I was like, we got to get Alex Saar, but Cooper Flagg, nah. No. Let the chips fall where they may. He's like, we shall see where they land. We will not shamelessly chase Cooper Flagg. We wanted Zachary Risacher or whatever. Like, I don't know. I don't get it. I guess a lot of my question in covering this team, I spend way too much of my brain space thinking about them and talking about them, is like, why now? Why did they turn the Jets on now? Like why? And they didn't even really turn the Jets on, right? They didn't make some sort of big all-in move, but like, why was this the year that they decided that winning was good? I do think there's a pretty clear roadmap from winning is good to new contract. I mean, like, again, mm-hmm. like that's how you demonstrate your value to your bosses in literally any job. It's also the point of a basketball game is to win. So I see both of those parts of it, but it is strange to me. I don't know why this was the year that they said, we won't do the shameless tanking stuff until like one game with 3 minutes left against the Bulls. And they're like, yeah, no, actually we'll do tanking. We're into tanking. We'll tank.
Flagg might be the only Dookie in your life that you legitimately say, yeah, he good. I like watching him play. Wasn't mad that he was on my screen.
Elton Brand was pretty good. 25 years ago, Elton Brand was pretty good.
A minute ago.
They've had some good players. Jay Williams was pretty good, too. I mean, they win. I don't know if you guys know this, but they win the recruiting championship almost every year.
They do.
They actually get to hang a banner in their arena to say that they've won the recruiting championship. And those banners last forever.
They do
hilariously flop in the Final Four every so often. But, they get to hang those recruiting banners. Those are real.
How much fun did you have on Saturday night?
It was one of the great, great days of 2025, to be honest. It was one of the great days of 2025. I'm a Chapel Hill local, right? I went to Chapel Hill Carrboro Public Schools, and I have a group chat with several of my friends who also attended Chapel Hill Carrboro Public Schools, and boy, howdy, were we having fun on Saturday with the gang.
You want to hear a story that might add to it but also be painful? Our boss, he's retiring. Friday's his last day, and he's been in radio forever. He's a North Carolina guy, grew up in Durham, so he grows up similar to you, except roots for the team down Tobacco Road. And so as a retirement gesture, his wife and son had bought plane ticket and game ticket to title game to San Antonio for him, and he didn't find out about that until after they lost that game.
Hey, well, they know who the coach is. Like, you got John Shire. He doesn't win on those Saturdays. He makes it there, but he doesn't win on those Saturdays. I would buy tickets. I would just quite frankly buy tickets earlier. You might want to buy them in July when they win their championships.
Well done.
I mean, Hubert Davis is pretty
Petty
terrible.
Is strong. So strong in you. It is so strong.
Carolina has been mediocre for like a decade. I don't care. I'm not here for that.
They did beat Duke in a Final Four.
They did.
Coach K going out
of K's last game.
That was great.
That was one of the all-time greats. Great, that's a Final Four game.
Is that right? Is that right? They invited Carolina to their own funeral, and we buried Duke.
It's kind of a mean way to send our boss out, him hearing this on the radio.
It's a little rough. We gotta have a counterbalance it with a Duke guest or something later in the week.
Can I ask quickly, very, very fast, Mike, what is, if you were to just give me your best thing right now, not knowing some of the lottery stuff, what is the expectation then next year for them?
Yeah, it's really interesting, right? Because you would think that they have put themselves in a position where they don't want to take a step back, right? Where they're looking forward, and what is the step forward? The West is still going to be really, really good. A team is going to make the play-in with like 47 wins this year. That's tough. That's a lot of wins. I think the expectation is probably a similar version to where they are now, except that they don't have the first half of the year where they look like an absolute train wreck. Like they have the competent, their baseline of defense is pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
It's the other side of the ball where they need a little bit of help. And I think they've showed that they can be competent and that they're better than the bad teams. And so you try to stretch that out over 82 games. If you take care of business and beat bad teams over the course of 82 games, you're going to be about 500 because there's going to be flops. There's going to be injuries. There's going to be things like that. Like you're going to end up with 37 to 42 wins if you just take care of business and remain relatively healthy. That might not be good enough to get you where you want to go, but that would be a step forward.
Did you know the Locked On Blazers podcast is a daily Blazer podcast? Did you know you can find it wherever you find your podcasts and now on YouTube? And you can follow him on Twitter at Mike G. Rich. He is the homie. Mike Richmond, tell your boss we say hello. Thanks for the insight.
Hey, Kevin.
And enjoy the final week of the regular season. And let's do this again soon.
Thanks for having me, guys. Go Tar Heels.